The Victoria Police Force presents D-24. From the files of the Victoria Police, for the first time, come these true stories of unceasing war against crime, of day and night vigilance that protects our life and our property, and of the nerve center of the Police Information Bureau, D-24.
Police station. Constable Stevens here.
Constable, you'd better hurry round to Mrs. Evans' place in Melville Street, quick. There are two men robbing the place.
This is the true story of the railway station shooting. This is a true story from the files of the Victoria Police. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. Mrs. Eileen Evans lived a mile or so away from the East Malvern Railway Station. On a morning in September 1936, she locked her house and set off for the city to do some shopping. Little did she realize as she closed her front door that before she opened it again that evening, she was to be indirectly involved in the death of one man, the wounding of another, and the capture by the police of a third. Mrs. Evans left home at about 10 o'clock. For 2 hours, there was nothing but silence in her house. And then, shortly after midday, two men stepped onto her front veranda.
Father Lee, knock.
Yeah. Nobody, eh?
Knock again. Louder. Just to make sure.
Yeah.
They're out, all right.
Don't be so sure. Might be out the back. We'll have a look.
Yeah. All the windows are locked.
Looks like it, doesn't it? Here we are. Knock on the back door.
Not a sound.
I'll check the wash house here. No one here.
Then let's go in.
Not so fast. I'm going around to the front again.
But why?
Because I say so. And I'm running this shop.
Okay.
Come on then.
These windows look easy to bust open to me.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Now, knock just once more.
Don't let's bother. Let's just go in.
I said knock.
Okay. Now, are you satisfied?
Yeah, I am. Unwrap that iron bar and give it to me.
Yeah, all right. Now we're really getting on with the job. There you are.
Right. Now I'll bust open this front window, hop inside, and then let you in the front door.
Good. Say, Bert.
Yeah?
What if there is someone in there, asleep or something?
You got a gun, haven't you?
Too right, are you?
So have I. So what you worrying about?
But Bert...
Yeah?
You'd only show the gun, wouldn't you?
What do you mean?
I mean, just to scare someone, like, wouldn't you? You wouldn't shoot, would you?
Wouldn't I? Listen, mate, I'm not going to be caught, see? And no one had better try it, or my gun's likely to do anything. And don't you be scared to use yours if you have to.
But look here.
Shut up. We're going in and we're getting out again. And no one's going to stop us.
And that's just what might have happened if Mrs. McPherson, who lived opposite Mrs. Evans' place, hadn't been in her front garden with her small son.
Mummy, what are you looking at?
Shh, David.
But, Mummy, what is it?
Those two men over at Mrs. Evans' place. Look, do you see them?
Oh, yes. What are they doing, Mummy?
I'm not sure. They've knocked on the front door, they've been round to the back. Now they're at the front again.
One of them looks like a Chinaman, doesn't he, Mummy?
Hmm? So he does. Good heavens!
What, Mummy?
One of them is breaking into the front window.
Are they burglars?
I'm sure they are.
What are you going to do?
I don't quite know. Look, he's opened the window and climbed inside.
Oh, Mummy, I'm frightened.
Oh, now, there's no need to be frightened, darling. They won't come over here. Look, now he's opened the front door, and the one that looks like a Chinese is going in.
But, Mummy, they'll steal things from Mrs. Evans.
Not if I can help it. Come on, David. We're going down to Mr. Wilson's shop to get the police.
Mrs. McPherson was good at her word. And Mr. Wilson, too, proved himself a good neighbor by not only ringing the local police, but by trailing the two men, who had by this time helped themselves to some of Mrs. Evans' property and left the house. He followed them to the railway station, saw them go into the waiting room. Then he hurried into the station master's office.
Mr. Foster.
Huh? Oh, hello, Mr. Wilson. You look worried.
There are two men in the waiting room. They've just broken into Mrs. Evans' place in Malvern Street.
Really?
When's the next train coming?
Not for about 20 minutes.
Oh, good, good.
Have you called the police?
Yes, but he'll go to Mrs. Evans' place. You've got to keep those men here, even if the train comes in, while I bring the constable here.
All right. I'll do my best. Be as quick as you can.
Yes, don't worry about that. We'll be back in a flash.
It was a race against time, for the station master would have found it very difficult to detain two armed and desperate men for more than a few minutes. And naturally enough, he was very relieved when, about 6 minutes later, his office door opened again.
Here he is, Mr. Foster.
Oh, am I glad to see you, Constable.
The men are still there?
Yes. Haven't taken my eye off the waiting room since Mr. Wilson left. The porter's up that end of the platform pretending to do some cleaning. I told him to give me the nod if they made the slightest move.
Good. Now, I'll have to question these men somewhere. You don't mind if I bring them into this office, do you, Mr. Foster?
Of course not. You do anything you have to.
Thanks.
Will you need me any more, Constable?
I shouldn't think so for the present. Thanks for all you've done.
Oh, no trouble at all. But I'd better be getting back to the shop.
I'll need a statement from you later, of course.
Oh, yes, righto. Just let me know. Bye, Mr. Foster.
Goodbye. Well now, Constable, what do you want me to do?
I'll just carry on as usual for the moment. Then when I bring them in, if you'll leave us by ourselves for a few minutes.
Certainly.
Then I'll go along to the waiting room now and bring them in.
Constable Stevens had questioned many suspected lawbreakers in the 7 or 8 years he'd been in the force. Now and again, he'd struck trouble. But as he left the station master's office on that sunny spring day, he had no reason to suspect that this would be anything but a routine job. And the two men in the waiting room were equally unsuspecting, even if one of them was a trifle nervous.
I wish that rotten train had come.
Oh, cut out the whinging, will you? Everything's gone just as we planned it.
Yeah, but what if somebody saw us at the house?
Nobody saw us.
How do you know?
I'm just telling you, that's all.
Oh, I hope you're right. When do we split up the stuff?
Not till we get back to my place. Then after we've done that, we can start thinking about a couple of other jobs. There's a place out in Brunswick which I've had me on for quite a while.
Shut up. Someone coming.
I'm just taking that through. Now listen, mate, I reckon it's this way. If we can get into town at about 2:30 and then go straight round to Burke Street, we... Hey, what's the strength of you's walking in and listening to a couple of blokes talking?
I'm a police constable.
Huh? Okay. But we're not doing any harm. Just waiting for a train.
I want to talk to you two chaps.
Right.
Shut up. What do you want to talk about, copper?
If you both come into the station master's office, I'll tell you.
We're coming nowhere. We're catching the next train to town.
Now, don't start arguing. Let's go into the station master's office.
You can't do this to us.
I reckon we ought to go, Bert. Come on.
No.
Well, I'm going if you're not.
All righto. But make it snappy, copper. We want to get to town.
All right. You two go ahead. I'll follow.
What, don't you trust us?
Come on. Stop wasting time.
All right. But it's you who's wasting the time. And you'll find that out when we get into the station master's office.
And so the two men, followed by the young Constable Stevens, started the short walk along the platform. A short walk that was to have a sensational ending. In a few moments, we'll continue this true story from the files of the Victoria Police. This is a true story from the files of the Victoria Police. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. The outer suburban railway station was almost deserted on that September morning in 1936 when the two housebreakers made their way to the station master's office, followed by Constable Stevens. But although they claimed to be anxious to catch the next train to the city, the two men walked slowly, probably because they wanted to discuss their plan of campaign.
Now, remember, Jack, you leave all the talking to me.
Yeah, but what about all the stuff we've got on us?
Never mind about that.
He's got us cold.
Not on your life, he hasn't. We've got guns. If he gets too smart, I'll pull mine on him, so help me, I will.
Now, Bert.
You want to stretch in Pentridge, do you?
He can't start shooting cops.
I didn't say there'd be any shooting. And there won't be if he's got any sense.
What about making a run for it?
Don't be a goat. And then only a yard behind us. Just shut up and leave it all to me. This the station master's office, copper?
That's it. Just in there. Well, go on, open the door and go in.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Foster. If you wouldn't mind leaving us for a few minutes.
Oh, yes, certainly. I'll be just in the booking office if you want anything.
Well, we're here. What's all the fuss about?
I've been told that you two men broke into a house in Melba Street about 30 minutes ago.
Don't be silly.
You deny it?
Of course we do. We don't even know where Melba Street is, do we, Jack?
Never heard of it.
Well, my information is that you entered the house by forcing the front window. You stayed inside for about 15 minutes, and then you came straight here to the station.
Who told you that?
You were seen at the house and followed here.
You're a liar.
What are your names?
I'm Bert. He's Jack.
Bert what and Jack what?
Find out.
That's silly talk, isn't it? You know I can find out all right. So I go on like that?
I still say find out.
All right. What's in that parcel you're carrying, Bert?
That's my business.
Unwrap it, will you?
Unwrap it yourself.
All right, I will. Iron bar, eh?
Any crime in carrying an iron bar?
Well, it could be used for forcing a window open. It
could be used for a lot of things, like wrapping round your skull.
That's enough of that. You seem to be holding something in your coat pocket, Jack. What is it?
Lay off him, will you?
Take your hand out of your pocket. Bring out whatever's there.
I said to lay off him.
Come on, Jack, up with it.
Take no notice, Jack.
All right, I'll have to look for myself.
Burke! Get back, copper.
So you've got a gun, have you?
Does that change your mind for you?
No, it doesn't. Come on, Jack.
Let him go or I'll plug you.
I think you would, too.
Too right, I would. And I couldn't miss from this distance, could I?
You know you're only making things worse for the both of you, don't you?
Yeah. Put the gun away, Bert.
Not on your sweet life. You get out your gun.
No.
Get it out, I say.
Come here, fool.
Stay away from him.
All right, you ask for it. No! Give me that gun! Finish him, Jack. Go on, finish him. Nice work, Jack. You got him with everyone. You can't last much longer, copper.
He's gonna die. I'm getting out of here.
He's left his gun behind.
You'll never get it, copper.
Mr. Foster!
Try to stop the other man. You were too fast for me.
Get that gun from the floor.
You keep out of it, mister.
Gun! Go on. They shot me. More time.
Then get away, copper. Hello, I'll fix you.
What? Don't shoot him.
I'll shoot you, too.
Got him. Get that other gun.
I can't.
Let me go.
Oh, my head.
Good for you, Constable. He's dropped his gun.
I can nearly reach it. Got it. There's another gun. Now it's my turn.
Oh, you got him, Constable.
They got me. Take the gun in case it's shamming. Ring the police.
Constable Stevens had been shot 4 times. In the back, in the stomach, in the arm, in the chest. But in spite of these dreadful wounds, he managed to summon up enough strength to bite his attacker's hand and force him to drop his gun. And then, on the verge of collapse, he fired one shot. A shot that pierced the criminal's heart and killed him instantly. But his accomplice had escaped, and the police net was out.
All right, men. We've got to search every square foot of the area. He might be miles away by now, but we can't help that. Now, you all know his description. About 5 feet 6 inches, wearing a dark blue suit. And all the witnesses say he obviously has Chinese blood in him. All right, you'll report to me at regular intervals to let me know what area has been covered.
Right.
All right, that's all. And we're not eating or sleeping till this man's brought in.
Looking for a needle in a haystack, isn't it?
Yes, but orders are orders. So let's have a look over this paddock. Could be a likely place with all that tall grass in it.
All right. It's getting a bit dark, though.
I could do with some dinner, couldn't you?
Yes. But you heard what the inspector said. No food, no sleep.
Oh, what's the matter?
Nearly fell over that log. A man ought to be careful around. Stan.
What?
That log I tripped over.
What about it?
I don't think it was a log.
What do you mean the log wasn't a log?
It wasn't hard enough. But in this light it looked like a log.
Are you saying it might be the chap we're looking for?
Let's have a good look at it anyway.
Right. Take it easily, though. He might have another gun.
Just about here.
Jack. Is that you, Jack?
Well, there's only one way to find out.
I'll jump on it.
No!
So it is you. Stand up.
All right. But give us a go, will you?
You didn't give Constable Stevens much of a go in the railway station today, did you?
I didn't shoot him.
No.
No. It was Bert Mason who shot him. You ask Bert.
We can't ask Bert.
Why? Did he get away?
Bert's dead.
He's dead?
Constable Stevens shot him.
Ah, don't have me that. The cop had four bullets in him himself. Why, I pumped three and a...
So you did shoot him?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I did. I panicked. I didn't want to shoot anyone. I didn't even want to go to that place in Melville Street.
Then why did you go?
Well, it was like this. Bert Mason said he knew a bloke at that house who had some things for him. He wanted to collect the things and asked me to go with him. We knocked on the door. There was no answer. So Mason said, let's go in and I'll get my stuff myself. And I won't have to come out all this way again. So we went in, took the stuff Mason reckoned was his, and left.
Where's the property you took now?
Here. In your pockets.
I see. All right. You'd better come with us.
No.
Come on.
No. I'm getting away.
Come back here, will you? Don't be a fool, Jack.
Let me go, will you? Let me go.
Come on, you can't win. So be sensible. Handcuff him, Stan.
Sure.
Now, Jack, you might as well come quietly.
Yeah. Looks like I've had it, hasn't it? Say, what about that cop that got shot?
What about him?
Is he dead?
No.
Will he get better?
I wouldn't know, but he's very sick.
Yeah. Four bullets. He got four of them. That's a lot of bullets, isn't it? But he wouldn't give up. He was tough. And I'll say this for him. He was the gamest bloke I ever saw.
Fortunately for the man who so callously fired three shots at the policeman, after many months in hospital, Constable Stevens recovered from his wounds. But for his part in the crime, Jack was sentenced to 20 years jail. And for his outstanding courage, Constable Stevens was awarded the highest honor that the force can bestow, the King's Police Medal. It's to men like Constable Stevens that we, the public of Victoria, must be everlastingly grateful. The history of our police force is a proud one, and we know that whenever the need arises, there are highly trained, efficient, and courageous men ready and willing to protect our lives and our property. Let us play our part, then, by cooperating with the force whenever and wherever possible. Only names, place names, and dates were altered in this true story. It was dramatized from the files of the Victoria Police by Roland Strong, who now says goodbye until the same time next week, when there'll be another true story in this series, D24, which is brought to you by the Victoria Police Force and produced in the studios of Hector Crawford Productions by Dorothy Crawford.